All right, this is Don of Brass Stocks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Mr. Rookham, I'm first time calling this program.
Okay, welcome to the, welcome to our family, sir.
No problem. No, I'm a young man calling this program here, 25, mm-hmm. right? No, I work in the tourism sector, Mr. Rookham. And at a young age, I was heavily impacted by this coronavirus pandemic.
Okay. Would you like to tell us a bit more about what you did? Or you don't want to?
Well, I have no problem, Mr. Victor. Sure. No, I work at an establishment, a hotel that is highly recognized throughout the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
Understand me? And they put us, Mr. Victor, under some mischievous contracts. And when I told mischievous, I was crying the whole time, Mr. Victor. Because when I received the green paper from this establishment, it said to me, end of contract. Now, Mr. Wickham, within the contract, it also tells me, Mr. Wickham, that I cannot join the union at no point in time or I will be dismissed, Mr. Wickham. I think the government of the day needs to look at this point in time. I think it's a sign of emergency for the government to look at the workers in the tourism sector from the lower bracket, Mr. Wickham. Hello?
I'm listening to you, sir. No, you're telling me a story. I'm listening before I comment.
Right, because a lot of us in the lower bracket. Mr. Wickham.
All right, couple of questions let me ask you. Before, how long were you working at this hotel?
Well, that was from February this year, Mr.
Okay, so you just recently went on.
Yes.
What were some of the reasons that you accepted and signed a contract that prohibited you from working, from work for, work joining a union? Where did you sign it?
First of all, Mr. McKay, it was in some pretty fine writing. Pretty fine writing.
Did you have the opportunity to consult with someone who was either legally trained or was trained in employment rights before you actually signed the contract?
No, please, Mr. McKay. When you're young, you just want work, Mr. McKay. You just get your work.
The money was good?
No, not even good, Father. More.
Sorry?
It wasn't even good.
But then, what I'm trying to understand, if the money wasn't good, it wasn't an attractive offer, were the hours good?
Yes, the hours were good.
The hours were good. They fed you?
Yes, because you were paid for your lunch hour, Mr. Wickham.
Mm-hmm.
You were paid for your lunch hour, and you still had your hour's lunch.
Okay. So you were treated reasonably well, but the money wasn't that great?
The money was not great.
Right. But I'm still trying to understand, why did you voluntarily, did someone put a gun to your head and said, you have to take this job and you have to sing?
Well, Mr. Wickham, at that point in time, I wasn't working and I needed to work because I had rent to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you can't be living in somewhere and not paying rent. You have to find a job. Right.
So we come to a situation now where you went on in February. It is now, were you laid off in April?
In March.
You were laid off, but basically a month.
Yes, Mr. Wickham, yeah. Yes.
And you're saying that you were categorized as an end of contract arrangement?
As an end of contract arrangement.
Right. But sir, you do appreciate that regardless of whether you had been terminated for bad behavior, terminated because the employer, as that lady says, said to get from wrong my place, or terminated because the company closed down and had no money, you still ain't be getting anything because you haven't been working for long enough.
And that's what I'm saying to you, Mr. Wickham. And then I will get to a point that you may have to cut me off too, but I will say to you, Mr. Wickham.
Don't call the company's name.
Right. Right. As I said to you, Mr. Wickham, is that they outlined their strategic plan going forward, all right?
Right.
They implemented a policy where they sent the email to me via my account email, and it says in the email that if you do not have if you do not qualify for the unemployment, the company will pay you a percentage of what you earn. All you have to bring in is your statement, your earning statements from the NAS. You understand what I'm saying, Mr.
Mm-hmm. Bigger?
You brought in that statement from the company now. Now they change the document that was sent to you in the first beginning back a second document indicating that it was a mistake in the first document. And then you have...
This is who they? This is the company or government?
The company.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They came out now and say that they cannot do it because there was two confronting letters. One confronting letter said...
But sir... What I'm trying to understand is if the company would have paid you, you're saying that they would have given you a percentage of your salary, a percentage relating to what period of time?
Right, but they did not. That's what I'm getting
at. I know, but what I'm saying is a percentage relating to what period of time, because you only work for a month.
Right, but what? But the NIS stipulated different within the statement.
No. The NIS couldn't speak to that situation because as you heard today, the NIS is concerned with you after you've been working for 20 months.
Okay.
After working for 1 month, it's difficult to say, I'm going to pay you in lieu of salary earned or whatever, because the only thing I can prorate it over is a month.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for example, they give you any holiday money?
Definitely so, Mr. Wicker. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying that ultimately there's really nothing so that can be calculated, because having worked for a month, there's not a whole lot that can be calculated.
But as I said, nevertheless, they give me the statement to take to them.
No, because by law, that's what they have to do.
Right.
But so getting a green paper does not alone mean that there's something to benefit from. Because you can get a green paper. All it means is that you have been laid off. But unfortunately, it doesn't mean that there's anything there for you.
Right. That's what I'm saying, Mr. That's why I'm trying to find out now. If there is no form of income coming from the NIS, what mm-hmm. was the sense of the green paper given to me at that point in time?
Because by law, an employer has to give you a green paper when they're terminating you. Is that correct, Dennis? Yeah, by law, they have to.
Okay.
By law, if you employ someone and you terminate that person, you have to give that person the document. But that does not mean that it entitles you to anything from National Insurance because you have not been working for long enough.
Right. Well, Mr.
Have you gained any critical skills at this employment place?
Pardon me?
Have you gained any critical skills that help you to learn anything that you can probably sell in the future? I mean, in terms of skills?
Well, sir, I perform the role as a houseman.
Mm-hmm.
Basically assisting the housekeepers.
I was just wondering whether it was possible that you could trade on the experience that you had while you were there to get future employment.
No, because it was not like if I was a gardener or a plumber mm-hmm. there. I wasn't anything like that. I was mm-hmm. just a houseman mm-hmm. lifting down and bringing down the bed sheets and different stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm going to just put this out. I want anybody from the union or anybody from the department mm-hmm. to help me with this. No, in terms of contract arrangements, from the time I've been listening to Obaris at a young age, I have been hearing a lot of problems in terms of contract workers in Barbados. A lot of problems. So I want to know from who is in a position of labor union representative or somebody that knows about it, what in terms about contract workers now with this COVID-19?
It's the same thing. Sir, the contract arrangements are challenging, all right? Let's take a break. You stick a pin. Just hang on a second and I come back. I will just explain a few things. We'll be right back.
What kinds of learning opportunities will NTI offer?
We believe learning can be fun. The NTI wants to provide training that's engaging and enjoyable for Bajans. Learning should be a joy, whatever your age, station, or education. Our materials will cater for how you learn. You can get certified to show you've participated in or completed a course in the area you choose. Or you can get accredited to do further training with other institutions. Upskill for your current job or get new skills for a job for the dynamic future. There's so much reward in lifelong learning, and we're making sure everyone has a chance. That's why it's free.
It's the NTI, shaping the Star Bajan.
The winning sound of Network Sports.
This Tuesday evening from 6:15 on Voice of Barbados and VOB929.com, we continue to ask the question, in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, should the West Indies team travel to England to play against Joe Root's men? We also talk VPL cricket in St. Vincent. We get reaction from West Indies T20 player Keswick Williams. And look who we found, all the way in Queens, New York, former West Indies fast bowler Cameron Eustace-Coffey. Also, Cricket West Indies Vice President Dr. Kish O'Shallow live on Mason and Guest this Tuesday evening from 6:15 on Voice of Barbados and VOB929.com. You got a date, so don't be late. Mason and Guest, in association with the Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
Welcome back. Yes, sir. The first job you ever had was this job where you were on contract?
In terms of contract, yes, sir.
You ever had a job before?
Yes.
And you were paying National Insurance Benefits, NAS, before?
Yes, sir.
How long?
Well, that is a good time, a long time.
You say you're 24, so it couldn't have been a big long thing?
Well, as I said to you, sir, is that the time span that they are looking at in terms of the time span that I work. Mm-hmm. So when I break, when I stop, and I work back, they say they don't calculate that.
Of course not, yeah.
Right. So that's what I've been having.
But how long were you working before you were made redundant, before you became unemployed?
At this present?
No, at the previous place. You told me you worked there for a month. But before that, how long were you working?
Well, before this establishment, I worked there for a short time, but no NAS was taken out.
How come?
Because it was a handy job.
Okay. So it was like a casual employment?
Yes, please.
And before that casual employment, did you ever work anywhere else?
Security.
And again, that was also casual or that was standard?
Casual too as well.
Casual as well. Okay. What I'm going to say to you is this. The contract is a challenging proposition. There are many of us who work on contract. For example, I have never worked not on contract. That's not true. Most of my working life, I have been on contract. Contracts work well for people like myself and Dennis and so on, because it gives us the flexibility to not be tied to one employer, and it gives you this flexibility of exploring other options. So let's say, for example, you found a little side hustle, right? You could do that without offending your main employer based on the type of contract that you had. I do appreciate, however, sir, that for many people who are working, certainly at the level that you were working, in the type of work you were working, a contract employment is probably not going to be as beneficial to you. But at the same time, it usually works out better for an employer because they don't have to get into this relationship where they are paying benefits for health and all this kind of thing for you. And that's why they like it. What I would say to you, however, though, sir, is that before you get into an arrangement like that, it is in your interest to go to someone. You can go to the Barbados Workers Union, or you can go to the National Union of Public Workers, and you can sit down, you can have a chat with one of their officers. I don't believe they will charge you anything for the fee. Because, no, in fact, in the final analysis, the industry, the hotel industry is aligned to the Barbados Workers Union. So if you, as a person who is working in that industry, if you go to Solidarity House and you ask one of them to sit down and take you through a contract of employment, I would be very surprised if they tell you no. Because the fact is that over the years, the Barbados Workers Union represents a lot of people that don't pay dues. So ain't nothing. If you are in that situation again, if I were you, take the contract, carry it to the BWU, sit down with one of the officers there and say, can you explain to me the implications of my signing that contract? The other issue is the question as to whether or not there's a better offer on the table. If there's no better offer on the table and you need to work, my suggestion to you would be take it and try to see if you could find a better way or another way to get yourself employed. But one way or the other, the concerns you are having about whether you would have been better off if you were employed in secure employment, I can tell you with fair confidence, sir, that you would not be any better off. Because after working for a month, there are not many organizations, whether you're formally employed, contract, or otherwise, that put you on staff, that the result or the outcome would be any different. Even if you work with government and you were appointed for a month and then you were terminated, I don't believe there's a whole lot of benefit that you could gain through an employment in another way. So my simple response to you is two things. In the future, if you have a contract, get somebody who understands these issues to go through it. You could call Caswell Franklin. He has a lot of time on his hands, and he knows a lot about these things. He can't charge you because he works for the state. So call Caswell and let Caswell go through the contract with you and say, are you going to sign this or not? If you are not going to sign it, you have to appreciate the fact that they will probably get someone else who will sign it, and then you will be without a job. So to me, you got to ask yourself, is it better not have a job or to have that job?
That's right. Same that I said you, Mr.
Richard. Right, and I get that because I know sometimes when you're not working, you know, somebody say, it's just like if you ain't working and you pass and somebody tell you they want a grass cut, you may not be a person who's cut grass, but you'll cut the grass because you will leave it $50. Right? And I ain't vexed with it. But that don't mean you want to make a career cutting grass because that's not your thing, you know?
Because as I said, Mr. Wickham, my career is I want to be an embalmer.
Well, that's what you like to do.
I want to be an embalmer.
You want to pump people with formaldehyde?
I want to do embalming.
You like dead people?
Yeah, that's my field.
Okay. Have you ever worked in that area?
Yes, I did. But I never get to do the literally embalming. They told me I have to go overseas.
And it's expensive.
So I just do any job to build up my success so that
that's reasonable.
And learn that and come back and help my country and help other people.
But can you not work in a funeral home in a junior capacity so that at least you're in the same area of work and you can learn along the way?
But that was what I was doing too. But I said it was under contract too. Mm-hmm. But that contract was different because that contract stayed the last 3 months. Mm-hmm. And they said to me, look, after 3 months, we will not renew that contract. So they had it in big and bold that after the 3 months, the funeral home will not renew the contract, so you have to go. Mm-hmm. So that was explained to me in the interview and in the job format. So I got that clear. So when my 3 months was up, I left and moved on. Mm-hmm. But that's just my concern because as a young person, I don't want to be wasting too much time. I got a lot of other things to
I think, sir, that you are genuine and sincere. I get that from talking to you. I see a level of sincerity and I see that it's clear that you want to do something, and I appreciate that you will want to do it. The challenge is that all contracts are not created equal, right? And unfortunately, in the first instance, you had a fixed-term contract. In the other instance, you had like an open-ended contract. But what I'm just saying is that regardless of what contract you had or whether you had a permanent job in a company, unfortunately, over a month, there's not a lot of benefit that you would be able to get. But I do feel, sir, that it is in your interest in the future to see if you can, you know, as I said, if you have a contract, just say, can you give me 24 hours? I need to take it away. I'll consult with my big brother or big sister or whoever. And, you know, I'll call Caswell, right? If you need his number, call me and I will give you his number. And let him use some of that energy that he has, that he takes running about the house with snow, to sit down and go through this contract of employment and explain to you what are the benefits and what are the challenges that you could face down the road if you sign it. The other thing, sir, is that labor laws will protect you regardless. Huh? So for example, if you are employed continuously on contract, and let's say that at the end of a year, they stop the contract and they put you on another one, the labor laws still ensure that there are certain benefits that you will gain. So you're protected regardless in some instances. But the specifics that you need to know, I think, as I said, it would probably best to have those explained. What are you doing now, though, sir? How are you eating and surviving?
Well, Mr. Vickham, this thing is about me as a young man. I am on my own. Mm-hmm. I'm on my own. I have to pay rent without work.
Do you have children to support?
No, please.
Okay.
No, sir. Mm-hmm. I have rent to pay. That is my main priority. Well, I'm getting assistance in terms of food stuff from the relevant agencies.
Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the rent format, it is frustrating me at this point because mother died, so therefore I'm at myself alone. Yeah. Everything is at me. You understand?
Your landlord has been understanding?
Mr. Wickham, in a sort of way, but yet not otherwise. Because all he's telling me all the time is that the bills got to pay, the bills got to pay, and the loan got to pay. Because I rent in a room.
Right. So you feel you're under pressure, basically, from him. Like, at any point in time, he might snap and say, look, get out of my place.
Get out of the place.
Yeah, yeah.
And at a young age, Mr. Wickham, these streets are not.
There's no option that anybody should have to consider. And you have been making efforts to, well, I guess it's hard to do it now, but certainly in due course, you will make efforts to find employment.
Listen, Mr. Wickham, before I call you, Mr. Wickham, every day, even if I have to walk, Mr. Wickham,
you go out.
I go and I find myself to each business establishment I can find. Mm-hmm. That I even go out certain big houses in certain areas, Mr. Wickham, and I ring the bell, mm-hmm. and I ask if they want the yard rake up, if they want coconuts picked, if they want something to do, Mr. Wickham, for the biggest house in Barbados you can find. Mm-hmm. I go and I knock and I ask. I make sure I dress appropriate and smell properly, and I go and I ask a question, Mr. Wickham.
Okay.
That's how I see it. That's how I see it. I don't just sit down and waste the time. But my main focus as a young man, I cannot be without work and at this young age, because the rent has to be paid. He's piling pressure, and therefore I'm not violent and not that type of person.
So it don't sound that way to me.
Therefore, he will not get that behavior from me. So my thing is, I'm just asking who is in authority to help a young person like me, even if it was in the first instance of the coronavirus, if the government could have put things in place. You have the BHTA, those people that could have put things in place for those persons that would have been disadvantaged in the tourism sector, because it's not only my one, you know. Yeah. It was a whole group of us that were in this together.
You know, sir, I mean, I am agreeing with you that I understand a lot of people are in it. When the Prime Minister first made the announcement, the fact that she, for example, included beach vendors in the group of people who would be able to get social assistance reflected the fact that she understood there were these large numbers of workers that were categorized and uncategorized that would be essentially thrown out. And I get you, sir. I feel you, because you're saying that the whole industry has shut down. The challenge is that it's hard for government to provide for an industry, especially in an environment where the public servants who are being paid are saying that they're not willing to submit a section of their salary to ensure that there could be an investment in the construction sector so maybe you could get work. But you are listening to the conversation going on today, right?
Yes, I was listening.
So the plan is to take something from them, boost or invest it in the construction sector, and hopefully you will get work, not the kind of work that you would like to have working in Embalming, but at least you will get something that you can pay your bills, because you may get some work on a construction site. But they're saying that they object to doing that because they have bills to pay and they have things to do as well. So I appreciate what you're saying, and I think that an effort is being made. I do, however, feel that the challenge is that there has to be a cooperative agreement, because saving an entire hotel sector is hard, especially when you consider the fact that such a significant portion of Barbadians work in tourism. And now we are feeling it and understanding who was really working in tourism in the first place, because everybody has basically been thrown out without a job, and it is rough. Your situation is particularly concerning. As you said, you're on your own. You don't have anybody to look for you. How many girlfriends you have?
Me?
Yeah.
Mr. Wickham, I can't focus on them. I got a better
Okay. future. Well, that's good. Okay, if you had two, then that would be additional problems. Because that's one of the additional challenges a lot of people in your situation have. Because when you're working at 24, usually that's one of the things you look to do, and it adds to your expenses when the months come. So if you don't, that's good. I'm going to ask you to leave your, just stay on the line and leave your information with Dennis, because I did receive a WhatsApp message from someone who may be in a position to give you something to do, which is what I love about doing this job, because we're able to help directly. So leave your information with Dennis, and let's see if we can do something at least temporary for you in the meantime. All right, sir. And you take care. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. And yeah, that was a very touching call, and I'm really hopeful that something can work out for him. As I said, we have at least one inquiry that I am going to follow up when I leave the program, and I'm hoping that this guy can get something. He is reflective of a challenge that so many people have having. Can you imagine starting to work in a job, 1 month later, this COVID crisis hits, and it is cat-spraddling people. And I mean, I was making light of the situation, but the reality is that were he in a situation where he had children and two or three mouths to feed, it would be horrendous. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Greetings, sir.
Yeah, hey, how is it?
One of my few occasions of calling in.
Well, it's good to hear you.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I want to say that I agree with you that we are all cats present, and I really sympathize with that young man, and I'm sure there are many others like that. In that situation, it's tremendous. Even my company is in that situation at Ground Zero, where mm-hmm. without tourists or any kind of groups gathering, nothing can be done.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is what I want to say. This is bad, but out of bad, we get good.
Okay.
In most cases.
You say in your business, what business is it?
This is entertainment, mainly okay. in the hotel sector. Mm-hmm. Entertainment for local, regional, international entities, but all dependent upon groups and tourism.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I say Ground Zero. But that's not really what I call the book, because that is a cry of many people right now. I want to step out of the box and look at congratulating, or even looking at the fact that I said from bad to good, we have moved to the online payments. And for many years, I have asked why BRA and so on is not allowing online payments to take place. And I'm very pleased to see that BRA is now at Republic Bank and other options. And I must say it's working very well, because I did pay my last VAT, I don't know until when,
mm-hmm.
and corporation tax. And that is registered when you go online and see that the red has turned to black.
Brilliant. Okay.
But what I want to say is that for other people, you have people, insurances in particular, telling you to pay online. And they never send a receipt, email, or otherwise to say that the payment has been received. So you don't even know if your policy has lapsed or not, because you don't get that communication. Even though people say they're working from home and they're online and it sounds fantastic, that is not happening. Because if I make a payment, within 3 working days, I should see an email or text message or something telling me that your payment has been received and your policy is up to date.
Yeah.
That is not happening.
And I am agreeing with you. National Insurance, for example, people who are unemployed and who have submitted this electronic picture of their card indicating that they're still unemployed, there's no way to verify online whether that information has been received or not. And I think that that is an additional area where we need to see movement. I acknowledge that now we have this ministry that deals with these electronic processes. We have moved quickly to get a lot of them in place. But I appreciate, sir, that you're right, that there's a challenge where communication is concerned. And the same way that you see the tick moving from red to blue, we should have that filtering across far more systems where
correct.
You can get an updated information. And it means I don't have to pick up the phone and call. You received my document, I can just check online and see that you received it.
Well, sir, now that you say pick up the phone and call, I have picked up the phone and called a specific insurance company in relation to a policy, and I have been turned around in circles,
mm-hmm.
what they call it, like a cock in a pit or something, a blank cock in a pit or something. I mean, around and around, you never get a response. Press this and press that and press the third, and then you press the fourth, you go back to press 1 and 2. And every time I pass it, the only insurance that might carry the name of Barbados in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say that it is ridiculous. I've passed there 3 times physically, even though insurances have been opened with the protocols, they are not open. Calling is a waste of time, and mm-hmm. the agent that I am supposed to have has not communicated with me since March the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these insurances promised to send you an email when you make a payment, and there is no email. I also want to congratulate Saul, the people with the gas bottles, because you can pay that online, and you know that you have paid, because you could call and say, yes, we got the payment. Even if you don't call, you'll see the gas turn up.
Mm-hmm.
But the other people, there is nothing happening.
Yeah. Inefficiency is not confined to government. And your
of
point makes
not.
It known that there are private
of
entities that are inefficient also. And that also needs to change.
My other point is, sure. now that we have all this online stuff happening, cyber security is a big issue. Do mm-hmm. they have the protocols and firewalls in place to prevent people from being hacked and getting personal information from making these transfers, which they will not send an invoice, a receipt to say, yes, you have paid and your policy is up to date to X or Y date. So I'm talking now security, cyber security. We have to find out if those protocols are in place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so I agree with you fully.
Just an observation, yeah. Nothing mm-hmm. for you to really comment on, but these are things that are happening, and I told them I will go to Brasta to speak to that specific insurance because the others have been communicating via email and text message on a regular basis, even though they are not sending receipts for when you do something, but at least I could speak to them. I can't even speak to that agency. I mean, my contribution, sir, and I think cybersecurity is an important issue.
Agreed, and I thank you for stopping short without having to get Dennis's intervention to identify the not identify the people that you've spoken to. All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. This is Dr. Brastax. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon again. A little buzz in there.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I heard a caller, I think it's just before you went to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard the tail end of his contribution. You were testing the strength of his proposition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that I've held very, very dear to my heart. I discussed it with Dennis on more than one occasion. And that is the reason or the sense behind the government being the sole importer. You know, I know they make a nice little tax out of it. But now that the price, two things are coming against you. The price of oil going down, one, and two, you need foreign exchange to pay for it up front, and the market from whence the foreign exchange is coming is virtually non-existent. So I think if there was ever a time, you know, the old people are saying a bad thing, I don't think there could be anything good with COVID, but if there was or has been ever a time when government should get out of being the sole purchaser, is now. Only too often we hear the governors of the central bank, successive governors, reminding you, oh, remember, our oil bill is a billion. So I would say... now would be the time to get out of it. You won't jump right out of it.
But let me quiz you. What is the benefit? Let's try to understand why you're recommending this now. What is the cost saving that government would make by doing this?
But listen, Mr. Vickham, if you look back and you say, and you must have heard governors say this, remember our foreign exchange on petrol or
right, I understand that. But if government stop importing the oil and selling it to the, are we going to use any less?
No, it's not the amount of less. It is that you would not have to be going into your coffers.
No, but ultimately
$1 billion
so,
over a year.
So where is the foreign exchange going to come from to buy this oil?
You see, this is the thing. Light and Power compare for their bunker seat. Remember, Light and Power is part of Emera.
Right,
and
but
everywhere you walk,
sir,
in Canada, you stumble on where you're called.
Sir, what does plan. When Light and Power sends you the bill, what do you pay the right. bill in? You pay in Barbados right. currency or US currency?
I am sure that you're going to pay them not all in US currency.
No. I'm saying when you pay your bill, what do you pay in?
You mean event like as now?
Yeah.
You pay. The government got to pick up foreign exchange.
Right. But so I'm saying that your proposition. Okay, would make sense if when government basically stops buying the oil to sell it on, that the foreign exchange will come from somewhere else. But ultimately, government still has to look for the foreign exchange to buy the oil.
What I'm saying is, companies like Sol, Emera, and the conglomerate, they have their account, their foreign exchange account. From which they can purchase.
And how is that foreign exchange generated, sir? That's what I'm trying to understand you.
But they are part of. Listen, I work for three international companies.
Sir, what you're saying doesn't make any sense.
Just give me a minute.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to let you wait a minute because we have a few minutes remaining, and you're not making sense.
All right, let me get to the other one.
You cannot pay a bill in local currency. Everyone else pays a bill in local currency, and foreign exchange drop out the sky to buy the oil so that you can burn to pay the bill.
Drops out the sky. available.
No, but where is it going to come from? If Amira has an interest in Dominica, for example,
yeah,
and they can generate foreign exchange in Dominica to buy oil in Barbados.
Was that who? I didn't hear you.
They say if they have an interest in Dominica, were they going to generate foreign exchange in Dominica to buy oil in Barbados?
But what I'm saying to you, Mr. Milliken, but I want to get on to the other one because...
But the point you're making doesn't make sense. And I think that you have to appreciate the logic of it before we go any further.
What you tell me is you don't agree with it.
No, it's not that I don't agree with it, sir. I'm saying you have to be realistic. And if it is that we buy Bunker C with foreign exchange, regardless of whether government does it or a private sector person does it, ultimately the foreign exchange has to come from here.
Mr. Vickham, up front. You have the elbow room. You do not have to look.
So they're not an elbow room when Amira has to make their order and they are not a government entity. Ultimately, they're going to request from the central bank, the foreign exchange, like anyone else.
Let me put a question to you. You put a question to me, you would take one from me?
Sure.
Right. Suppose it is going as I propose and you have to buy 100,000 cubic meters of petrol.
Right.
Good. Who is going to pick up that money in the first instance? Is it government or would it be sold? As a matter of fact, I think the whole thing should be tendered for every year.
But sir, even if you tender for it, the issue is not the local currency. The issue is the foreign exchange.
Whoever wins it. But I will have to I am the body who will have to take out of my savings, out of my money.
That ain't making sense.
Rather than from government.
Anyway, sir, listen, that's a sweetheart deal where government brings in something and there is immediate market for it. Government sells it and makes a profit. I am not understanding the logic of the point you're making, unless the foreign exchange can come from somewhere else.
Let's go to the lesser sweetheart deal. There is a cadre of workers between who join government or who start to work around 18 years old. And they're have about 50 years before they become pensionable. What I'm looking at, let's take that cadre of worker who is now 38 years. You following me?
I'm with you. Mm.
20 years on, he's 38. Or that group, that cohort is 38. Let's look at another cohort that is 48, a 10-year difference between the two. You have a block of workers spanning a 10-year difference in age who have been contributing for between 20 to 30 years. I really can't see the finishing line, i.e. the day of retirement, until another 30 years down the road or another 20 years down the road. I am recommending or suggesting that cadre of worker be approached and asked, because you just deducting from the salary month after month to go towards something down the road that you're really not entertaining at the moment. Please may I borrow from you a 5-year aliquot of your savings. And you're going to ask me, so what are you going to get in return for it? I would suggest to you that you do not have to pay that portion of your payroll tax towards retirement for the next 5 years. So that gives you a little money extra to spend. It might be $50 in some cases. It might be $500. You don't know. But then, after 5 years, government should then start paying you back incrementally, month by month. But it's like a googly man. You pay it back month by month. And at the end of the journey, when you retire, you get a 5% top-up on what you would have normally done. We don't know right now how much money it is that is being required. But what I can tell you is that aliquot of money that is sitting there is going to be a substantial amount. So you will save that amount of money.
Okay. You finish it? Okay. All right. All right, sir. I want to thank you for bringing the program to a close. I'm sorry that I couldn't interrogate this issue more fully, but we are sadly at the end of our line. and Mr. Larry Mears is already waiting to get into the studio, so we're going to have to give way. I want to thank you for calling, sir, and for engaging, and I also want to thank all of the other callers who made today's program as lively as it was. It's always good to hear from you and to have a lively program. I'm seldom disappointed on Tuesdays when I come into the studio. I'm told I'm here next week Tuesday, and I look forward. I have to regret to inform you that I am not here next week, Tuesday. I will be here the Tuesday after that. So in a fortnight, I'll be with you again. So unfortunately, we have to defer our conversations until that time. And then we have a whole lot more to talk about. Because by then, we have a new government in St. Kitts and Nevis, and we can talk about that. Special thanks to the producer, to Mr. Dennis Johnson. It was good of you to handle the program as professionally as you did. And I want to wish all of you all the best. Do have a great week, a great weekend, and take care of yourself. And of course, be safe.